Well, the last time we interviewed Liesl Clark was just over a year ago during an Earth Day roundtable conversation. Back then, she was running Five Lakes Energy, a policy and consulting firm that focused on clean energy and the environment. 1 year later, she's leading the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, appointed to the job by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Liesl, welcome back to MSU Today, and what a difference a year makes.
Thanks for having me, Kirk. I'm glad to be here.
Before we get into a lot of other topics, very important, and your agenda for the first 100 days or so, the genesis of the name of the new department, which has really been around for a while.
We are the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. We refer to it as EGLE. I'm really excited to have gotten to the official first day of EGLE, which was Earth Day, poetically enough, Monday, April 22nd. So we spent a lot of time over the last few weeks doing some of the organizational components to it, and then also having conversations internally about, the commonality, the common threads amongst the department. And as you point out, I mean, it's a department that's been around for decades, frankly. So we've morphed from early days of the Conservation Commission through just, a variety of different names and organizational structures. But at the end of the day, what's most important is protecting public health and the environment. And that's what we at the department remain committed to.
Well, on the new name, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, the importance of water and energy. And so adding Great Lakes and energy to environment seems to make a lot of sense given the importance and where things are going these days.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, as you referenced, we've talked about this in the past, the connection between our beautiful Great Lakes and environment, as well as the energy component, is foundational to what we do, right? It's part of all that happens at the department and connected to that core mission of protecting public health and the environment. So I'm excited about having all the pieces of it interwoven. And, of course, there's always going to be ongoing work that's necessary to make sure that we're having those internal conversations, those external conversations, working between state departments as well. So, we know that a name change is really just a name change, and, the work goes on, and we're excited to do it. I'm pretty proud of the folks that I'm working with.
Well, that's great. I really like the new name, and you refer to it, the acronym is EGLE. You call it EGLE, huh?
We do. We call it EGLE.
Wow, that's wonderful. That sort of coincides with the reemergence. I know this is more of a DNR thing, but all the raptors and the bald eagles we're seeing around the great state of Michigan these days.
It's pretty exciting. I was doing some historical reading the other day, and we were down to, I think it was like 24 pairs of bald eagles at our load point. And, I mean, it's just amazing how many you do see around. I spend a lot of time in the thumb, as you know, and it's just incredible to see how that's changed.
So very serendipitous. Let's talk about something that's coming up shortly, May 14th through 16th in Ann Arbor, the Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference. You are our flagship sponsor for that. Tell us a little bit about the recycling efforts in Michigan and where EGLE is with respect to that and the conference coming up.
Yeah, we're really excited to be a sponsor for the annual recycling conference, and I think it's awesome that we're at the 37th annual, right?
That's right.
A testament to what this has meant for Michigan, and of course for the opportunity going out into the future. So, we are very focused on recycling as a core component of what we do to save energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and protect air and water. So we're very excited to be a sponsor.
Yeah, the grand sponsor, no less. Russ and I get down there every year, and we interview folks at the conference site. We're looking forward to doing that again at this one, at the 37th. But it's no secret. Michigan needs to catch up to a few other states in the Midwest on some of our recycling rates, and we're really making some efforts to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there certainly is always an opportunity for progress, and there is, in this space as well. So this is a good way to bring attention to the movement that we need to have in the recycling space. We're going to have a track of EGLE sessions throughout the day to highlight the latest developments in material management, and we think that will be great for the attendees. We also need to do additional kind of residential and broader communications. So we're initiating a statewide education campaign about why recycling is important and how to do it correctly.
Yeah, and I understand from the folks that we'll be talking to down there, but there's a grants program that communities can become involved with. So the, there's a lot of state support that hasn't always been there for people to do recycling programs and to launch some new recycling initiatives.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to talk about, and I think there's going to be, what, more than 400 people participating in this, and so it'll be a good opportunity for meeting of the minds, you know, like folks that are wanting to see how do we push these things further. So there'll definitely be conversation about upcoming dollars from the department that were made available through the end of the legislative session last year in 2018. And then, you know, we continue, you know, the beat goes on, right? So we recently just released 100,000 in awards for electronics recycling grants that primarily went to rural communities in Michigan. So wanting to make sure that we're touching all 83 counties to the best of our ability.
Well, the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy is the grand sponsor of the Michigan Recycling Coalition annual conference coming up May 14th and 16th. Our guest on MSU Today is Liesl Clark. She is the director of the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, also known as EAGLE. Liesl, before the break, we were talking about the Recycling Coalition conference coming up in Ann Arbor on May 14th through 16th. Let's talk about your priorities for the first 100, 120 days as the director of EAGLE.
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. So what I've been very laser focused on is really three things. The first is listening. I have spent a lot of hours deeply embedded in the department, visiting the regional offices, and really trying to keep my ears open to understand what's going on within the department. So I think it's really critical to be informed and to do my best possible work, to be informed by my colleagues in the department as a starting point. I'm glad to say that after, I think I'm over 30-some hours of listening sessions, I'm starting to get towards the end, but it takes a lot of time to make sure that you give 1,100 people an opportunity to have their voices heard. So that's been kind of my first and focal priority for the first window of my time here. The second thing that I've been focused on is, frankly, the transition. So working through the executive order conversations and all of the internal work that was necessary to get to the launch on April 22nd. So that was no small feat and, frankly, took a lot of time of people in the department on top of me. So, like, there's just a lot of work together that goes into that, and we feel really good about making that happen. The third thing that I've been focused on is our core mission of protecting public health and the environment. So, again, deep expertise in the department, you know, my efforts are there to do what's necessary to keep things moving forward in the right direction. So in the course of that work, we've also started a strategic visioning process help the leadership team come together and talk about what are our shared mission, vision, and values, which builds the foundation for how do we build our priorities and what do we hope to accomplish. So I'm excited about that process as well and look forward to sharing more of that in the near future.
Well, you certainly have, in addition to those, a lot on your plate in terms of some things that you've inherited. Let's talk a bit about this PFAS, a crisis. They say it's maybe the worst contamination crisis since PBBs about 40 years ago. A little bit of background on that. I know that was on your plate when you arrived, but you've got some things underway relative to that.
We spend a lot of time looking into PFAS, having doing investigations, having external conversations in communities. You know, just last week, almost every week, there's a conversation in the community about what's going on around the PFAS challenges. And in fact, last week, I was down in Cincinnati at the EPA Drinking Water Laboratory to learn about how is EPA using their technology and research to help us understand what's going on with PFAS. So I think that one of our challenges continues to be the fact that we don't have a lot of data at this point. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to pull together the pieces that we do know, complement it with what has happened in other states that can help be a guide, and then do everything that we can to make sure that we're protecting drinking water and public health to the best of our ability. So you might be aware, the governor asked us about 3-4 weeks ago to start the process of setting an official number for the level of PFAS in drinking water. And so At the end of 2018, there was a scientific advisory work group that made a recommendation to the state around what should that number be. And at that time, the group said it should be something less than 70 parts per billion. So what we've done is we've pulled the scientists back together to say, hey, you know, you guys have the expertise here. Look at the data and help make a recommendation to the regulatory component, which is Eagle Department, about what should that number be. And so we're in the midst of that process, as well as continuing investigation work to understand what's really going on and how it's impacting people.
Lisa, because PFAS is a national issue, are some of these research projects that are underway being coordinated by EPA, or is there some kind of a national network attacking this thing in some sort of unison or strategic fashion?
So we continue to have robust conversations with EPA, particularly because some of the PFAS challenges in the state come from the Department of Defense, and we hope that our EPA brethren can help make progress at the national level with the cleanup component that's necessary, because, of course, all of this at the end of the day takes dollars, too. So I would say that, you know, we're encouraging them to have a comprehensive look at it. Frankly, Michigan is out in front of the pack in terms of dealing with PFAS, and we need to get better. There's more to do, but we are, in many respects, leading the pack in terms of approaches.
Let's turn to some more stringent lead and copper rules and some enhanced testing regarding our water supplies throughout the state. Is that a new initiative or an ongoing initiative for the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy?
So the lead and copper rule changes came, finished in 2018. There was a regulatory process to discuss how the lead and copper rule should look. And we are working through implementation of that. And so the drinking water section of the department has been having robust conversations with the local communities about what does it mean to meet the standards of the lead and copper rule. And there are changes, right? So the rule was changed in 2018, so there are going to be differences to local communities in terms of implementation going forward. And so a couple of things just to highlight. One of the things that's different is we've made the testing more stringent. So the testing of homes for lead a good way to think about it is we've increased the microscope, if that makes sense. So we are making it a more robust test. And so that's something that I think it's important to understand. So that will play out over the course of the next few months. And then we are having a lot of conversations with the local water facilities about what does it mean for them to do implementation. So they have a lot of questions and concerns, and so we're trying to build a robust back and forth about that so that we understand, what are the unintended consequences and can work through that with them. We're also trying to make available dollars to support the improvement work that needs to happen through local service line replacement and things like that. So what that looks like is using the statewide revolving fund to support, and also to look at the governor's budget. And there are dollars available within the executive budget. We'll see how that plays out through this House and Senate side that would support local communities lead service line replacement.
Priorities with respect to the success we've already had and maybe continuing with the renewable energy?
Yeah, so one of the first steps from my perspective is getting somebody in place who's going to operate in the Office of Climate and Energy. So that will have an ability to kind of talk about that more publicly very soon. We're also excited about having Regina Strong in the role of Office of Environmental Justice Public Advocate. We're bringing on a drinking water public advocate, and there's some organizational changes that I think are going to support all of that work. So from the kind of clean energy sustainability perspective, again, as we said earlier in the segment, there's a lot that's already going on, not only within the Eagle Department, but then also within other departments in state government. So in my mind, it's important to start from a foundational point so that we know what we're doing. So the first step is thinking through an inventory of where we're at in terms of carbon emissions. So first, statewide. So thinking about, you know, mobile sources, building stock, power generation, industrial sources. And then to me, the second step is, what does that inventory look like from a state of Michigan perspective, from literally like state buildings, state-owned properties? And again, none of this is starting at ground zero. There's been great work ongoing for the last few years, for sure. But I look forward to embarking on collecting all that information and then moving from there.
Well, part of that great work was you were doing and continue to do, Liesl, great choice by Governor Whitmer to make you the director of the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. You've got a lot of work on your plate, but it sounds like you're off to a great start. Really appreciate the time that you're giving to MSU today and continued success in your new role.
Great. Thank you. Glad to catch up and look forward to doing it again soon.